Hello friends, we are studying this subject of international marketing and Professor Ashish Hathi is going to take you through this. We are on chapter 7. Chapter 7 is on screening the market, the approach. How do you go about screening the market to decide which is the right international market for you to enter? So with that, the learning objective that we set is the parameters that we will want to understand while you screen the market. Knowledge on the parameters which will enable you to find the attractiveness of the market and share the various challenges that one faces when it comes to international market entry. So with that learning objective, we enter and understand this. To introduce you the subject, choosing the right market is a critical strategic decision, make or break for the organization. Intention is, when you want to decide, the intention is that you want to identify, but identify in a way, evaluative way, the key parameters to evaluate to be able to decide the right market for you. So the whole intention is, how do you decide that this is the right market? Therefore, you need a screening. Screening is on what? Screening on various parameters, where are parameters are your attributes that will allow you to measure and derive whether the market is, worthy or not. It could be geographical, demographic, socio-cultural, political. We have studied this earlier. Entails classification. So after you do this analysis, what do you do? So it will lead you to classify markets as an emerging market, evolving market, developing market, or a developed market. Now you have to strategically take the decision whether you want to enter developed market, you want to start with evolving market or an emerging market. So that's a strategic decision. You also profile buyers, whether the buyers are already potential or a ready buyers. So there are evolving buyers. The test for such kind of products are growing, but they are not fully achieved. So like sophisticated products, etc., when entering into, say, South Africa versus India. India may be fast absorbing the new, gadgets and products, which may not be the case with South Africa. So that also profiling is done. Screening has to essentially cover, when you get into the screening, it has to cover market. At the end of the screening, you should be able to shortlist the market, perform. While you do the screening, you are able to perform in-depth research and analysis of the shortlisted market. So you should be able to have a proper analytical approach to the selection of the market, finalize at the end of it the market that you want to enter, readiness to enter the chosen market. So are you ready to enter the chosen market? Market needs to be screened regularly. So what it says also, that you have to have a continuous mechanism also to assess the market, the potential, etc. Suddenly something that you might have done a year back and you suddenly notice that another small country or an island somewhere or a continent is offering you a much better opportunity. So that screening has to be a continuous process, but it has to have above aspects in that. Okay, at the end of the screening, or screening should encompass, as they say, the market to shortlist. It should be allowing you to do the in-depth assessment and analysis. You should be able to take a decision for the market to enter and determine whether you are ready or not. So we are trying to understand a parameter. First of all, as I told you, the learning objective, how do you evaluate? How do you assess? So research process should address the following. So when you design your research process, should the firm enter the country? Is it viable, or is there a sufficient customer? So viability, sufficiency, regularity, etc. There are various such aspects one need to check to derive your. So this could be one approach, or this could be some of the parameters. Would it meet the prime objective? Will I get the desired sale? Will I get the desired profitability, etc.? Obstacles and challenges, what may derail your this thing, or what are the upfront challenges that you can visualize? Which markets are easy to enter and develop? So is there a market that you can categorize as to developing and easy to enter, or very competitive, difficult to sustain? Which way you want to look at it? So those kind of analysis also can be done. How this market is going to shape it up? So what are the growth perspective? What is the current volume? What are the growth perspective? So it will lead to what volume? What is your visualized market share? What is the competitive this thing going to shape it up? How will it impact your market share and therefore your total volume, etc.? So that perspective you have to have this. Okay. Besides those areas that we have discussed earlier, it should also focus on, the parameter should also evaluate whether your product can have a differentiation, product and its differentiation plank. On what plank do you think you can create a differentiation? Ability of offering value. Is your product found to have a value or not? Okay. Marketing mix. For the kind of customers, for the kind of a need and the want that as you understand, the behavioral pattern that you know about, whether your product or a solution offering has a value in it, exchange worthy value. So that's the marketing aspects. Marketing mix, to be able to offer that value consistently, what should be your marketing mix? Covers all the 4 P's. If it is service, 7 P's. What will that lead to? Yani, to be able to provide that value, you will have to invest, you will have to do certain extra effort. So operational cost, operational efficiency, etc. Fund availability, from where will it come? What is the fund required? From where will it come, etc. Characteristics of the market, whether it's a very volatile, whether steady state, whether competitive, etc., whether growing, developing, all those characteristic aspects of the market should come out, and complete competitive perspective you should get. So to begin with, here is the framework, Toyn and Walters framework to assess the international markets. So these are the aspects, the base of it is the objective. Objective to assess what? Objective to assess these 4 parameters. So as I mentioned, this framework gives you objectives to assess. The objective is to enter market entry assessment. So what market place assessment, trade assessments, and non-economic assessments. This is done with this objective in mind. We will study them as we move forward. So first aspects, market entry assessments. Here essentially opportunities screening is done with the in-depth assessment approach. Okay, you will have a complete perspective about market entry, whether market entry is risky, market entry is worthwhile, market entry is competitive but lucrative, etc. So for that you will have to do the assessments. Marketplace assessments, that is to do with the complete existing market, the structure, the threat perspective, the opportunity perspective, the competitiveness in the market, etc. The trade assessments. Trade assessment covers the entire trade practices. What are the trade channels, direct, indirect trade channels available, the trade practice, the trade terms, the national and international tariffs applicable while you deal with the direct or indirect way of doing business, etc. The barriers that you may face in a particular way of your doing business. If you are just doing exports, you are doing just agent-based this thing, you are manufacturing or a management contract or merger, acquisition or joint venture, whatever, there will be some barrier that you may encounter. Trade in competitive products. Okay, so what are the competitive products and the trade, what is their trade patterns, etc. And more such trade related aspects will come out. That's an objective. And last is the non-economic assessment, which is essentially evaluate social and political environment. So this is one obvious and natural this thing. You try to assess political environment from the stability perspective, social and even economic environments. It's a non-economic assessment, which is cultural impact, you know, on your product, etc. Will your product be disturbing the cultural threat, etc. So will your Marcom approach will create flutter in the market or what? Those kind of things also can be considered. So we understood essentially through Toyn and Walters framework, objective with which you do the market assessment. So that is the first part. Parameters for selection of the intermarkets, then the size of the market. You will probably have to have the idea about size of the market. So we understood this was an objective led assessment. Then comes the size of the market. So everything that you want to know about the market, as we said, market entry assessment or the size assessment. Okay, bigger the market, the number of consumers are bigger, but that doesn't mean that your number will be bigger. So now you have to have the consumer profile, their buying, their disposable income, their likes, dislikes, etc. Okay, So those things, their need, but then ability to fulfill need also is there or not. So those things will decide your number. Gross domestic product, so that is the GDP growth rate of the country, gives the idea about market development, also purchasing power. So whether consumers have that power to consume. Competition, the kind of size of competition, intensity of competition will also give you an idea about market available to you. So that's about the size of the market. International marketing, this thing also requires economic factors to be assessed, and there are geographic factors. So we started with the size of the market, then the economic factors like the economic growth that is visible from the gross domestic product, index of industrial production, various other indexes are there of the core industry, etc., or manufacturing industry index also are there. So that gives you the idea. Okay, what is the interest rate movement? Interest rates are high, low, moderate, etc. Are they going to go up, etc., or not? So that will determine that. Exchange volatility, your income, you know, Indian rupee always is in a critical low value, this thing with the US dollar, etc. International market, that is a factor that is matters. So you pay more for getting one US dollar, that has its own impact. Inflation, what is the level of inflation? In and around, we are around 6%. Though not low, it is reasonable. But if it shoots beyond a point, then it threatens the economic growth, because people's disposable income will shrink if inflation is high. For the same item, they pay more. So therefore, their disposable income will go down. Financial market conditions, availability of funds, what are the means of availability, etc., the applicable interest and all. The potential of the market. So that is a derivative of overall economic growth, the industry growth, and the specific product growth. Geographic factors are like size of the country, how large or how large the zone is, how large the region is, etc. Whether the climatic factors will determine continuous availability or may destabilize the market for some time, etc. So those kind of aspects will be considered. In terms of demographic factors, yes, demographic, we have earlier also discussed quite a number of time. It gets into understanding the population, the growth factors of that, structure of the population, that is male, female, learned people, you know, educated versus uneducated, urban, rural, so skilled, unskilled, etc., aged people versus young people, I told you. So that kind of a divide is really understood when you say demographic factors. Sociocultural factors, that is what is the lifestyle that the people are living it, what is the culture, cultural thread, subcultures, traditional rituals, beliefs that they live with, that also gives you a fairly good idea about likely acceptance or a rejection of your product. Technology, how that country is technologically ready, whether they are technologically advanced country, whether the required technology bandwidth is available. So we are today as on now on a 4G. The moment 5G will come, many more product services, many more services is possible. So those guys are waiting for the 5G to roll out. So then they will introduce their services. Penetration of internet, whether in urban or rural, percentage of penetration, etc. So these are those other parameters that needs to be assessed. So market attractiveness factor, we are trying to connect with the earlier slide where you understood that. What are the market attractiveness parameters? So I will go back for you. Essentially, market entry, market place assessment, market trade assessments, non-economic assessments. Then we entered into various parametric this thing, which is size of the market, economic factors, geographic factors, demographic factors, socioculture and technology factors. Now, there is a different set of parameters which is about the attractiveness factor. This is what is the main thing with which we started. You know, this is what we want to understand better, and therefore earlier exposure will enable you to know this. Market related factors, we have covered a lot of things. Organization related factors also will come into picture. Product and service related factors, so what to do with your product, what are the services expected, etc. Partner related factors, revenue, and revenue growth related factors, and market developing an index which will help you to compare apple to apple. We will be studying this one by one. So as I said, we are studying this market attractiveness parameters. Earlier, we have studied market identification parameters. After that, whatever out of say 10 markets that you have evaluated, you may decide 3 to 4 for which you have to decide the attractiveness now. So that's what we are trying to understand. We have earlier slide, we have seen what all factors are covered. First factor is the market related factors. So market related factors, not that you know needs a specific and elaborate understanding. Everything that you want to know about the markets, but of course all of them are kind of represented out here. Objective, the objective for which you are selecting the market. So the size of the market, what is the growth that you are aiming at, etc. Growth that you want in your revenue, will that market give you that growth, etc. So that depends on whether the growing market is there or sluggish market that you are entering, etc. Trend in the market, whether it's a trendy market, static market. So those are the aspects that you need to know. Competition, kind of a domestic competition, international competition. Have they created any entry barrier? Means, will they allow you smooth entry or you will have to encounter numerous initial phase difficulties, which is either the trade partners will be difficult to find, they will advertise heavily and your share of voice will be suppressed, etc. Regulatory and tariff related, this thing we have told you, the kind of tariff, non-tariff, technical barriers and all. Legal aspects, so what is governing the operations in that market, so that you need to know. Competitive, monopoly, restrictive trade practices, and there are many rule of carteling and anti-carteling aspects and all. So what kind of legal judiciary system, identification of the tariff and non-tariff barriers you have to identify. Distribution channels, so kind of a distribution channel available there, and what will be easy for you, what will give you the quick spread, or why are you looking at the depth in the market. So second comes the organizational factors, not that again it needs a one by one understanding, hierarchical structure that you may visualize, that you will have to have flat, multi-layered, etc. to actually get the success in that market. Quotient of the people, the talent, so what is the talent available vis-a-vis, you will have to import talent from other country, etc. So those kind of things, the level of skill required, whether you get the skill resource in that own country, etc. The kind of a financial resources, so like how heavy pocket you have versus frugal financial resource that you have. So those aspects about your organization, about the product and service. Is like, do you think that your product has a relevance with his need, etc. Oreo in China versus Oreo in India. So Oreo in India was successful, but Oreo in China initially faced a lot of kind of unacceptance. Then they have to relook at cultural aspects of such kind of a product in China, and they found that clue and they were able to crack that. It is given in the book, so to say. Those who are keen may just refer to it. So product related aspects, the acceptance part, okay, hindrances if any in the acceptance, etc., needs to be understood. Partner, the one with whom you are going to probably partner for your business. It could start from that manufacturing or managerial contract to so to say joint venture, and as you go forward, strategic tie-ups and all. So what is the expertise that he has, which field he has an expertise in, what is his market dynamics, what success has he achieved so far, what is his presence in the market, earlier international partnership if any and the success thereof, financial capabilities that he has, how stable organization is in terms of financial this thing, whether it is debt return, whether it is self-funded, how it is operational in terms of financial disciplines, compliances. Have they followed the compliances? Are they into following the law of the land and various OEM compliances, etc. or not? Technology, infrastructure, what their belief into it, what they've given, what they currently have, what can they set up for you, etc. And there, for each probably, if they are into multi-industry, multi-product, what kind of setup, what kind of manpower, the skillness of the manpower, etc. Those kind of things. Training that they impart, the longevity of the staff working. So various aspects that one need to find out about your partner. It's a very in-depth assessment that you require. Moving on, about the attractiveness comes the revenue related factors. So with all the preparation that you are, what is an expected revenue? So the volume will give you what revenue, because volume into the expected price level will give you the revenue, is a result of also competition, competitive pricing, your cost of sale, etc. So if you are entering and you have to have a high cost of sale, then accordingly your revenue will be impacted. Expected revenue gets you know the market, so it tells you that revenue is a derivative of naturally the share that you expect, right? So total market, the share that you expect will give you the volume, and that volume you are able to sell at what price will give you the total revenue. Revenue with what profitability. So this revenue at particular price point will get you what, is that the sufficient percentage of profitability? So is it attractive enough? So that's about the revenue. One factor are identified, and so once the factor are identified and obtained, they are plotted on a matrix. So now that's what, you know, attractiveness index that I spoke earlier. You come to a stage where you have a required information that allows you to create a index. Of this index derives out of various plotting that you do. Okay, so plotting requires x-axis and y-axis. We have various alternatives. So let's look at various alternatives. First one is the product matrix, map, or product market map, as you call. Now we will understand this little better. So you see, the x-axis talks about the competitive strength. This variable can be different. You can have for each variable about your, you can plot here vis-a-vis that, what is the market attractiveness? It's from less moderate to more. Less moderate to more. Now it gives you essentially 9 slots. Representatively, 3 slots are highlighted for you. If you are here, your competitive strength is less and attractiveness is less. Client is ill-advised. It is not worthwhile to enter this market. However, if your competitive strength is higher, market, this thing is moderate, or even if it's here, it's a best fit. Anything here and above, it tells you it's a best fit, best line for you to enter. If you are somewhere here, blue circle, where you have a less than moderate competitive strength, but the market is more than moderate available, you have to be cautiously taking this decision. Need to calculate with the benefit of the attractive market, market attractiveness outweighs the cost of investment that you will do vis-a-vis the competitive strength that you have. So this is the matrix that allows you to decide. The product 1, product 2, product 3 has been mentioned. I have explained you in terms of color coding and respective this thing. So this will tell you which product you think is appropriate for that market. So this gives you the product attractiveness vis-a-vis the market plotted on various parameters. Now you can have this multiple this thing, and then finally derive which is a product. So for some other parameters, it may change, and overall you take a collective decision. So now we move on to the next matrix. So this is what they call an eagle diagram, and it defined as 10 emerging and growth leading economies, EAGLE, emerging and growth leading economies. So you look at what are the emerging markets where there is a high growth and they are leading, and there is a sound economic sense. So here is that, you know, eagle framework will give you who falls under that, and that's what is plotted out here. Slightly complex though, basics you should know. So from that perspective, I have given you an idea. So this is also one of the model. Various parameters comes under this. Once you plot and once you identify and gather information, this picture emerges. Moving to next, it is a another plotting which is known as a bubble chart. You see, so this is a one particular country is taken. It's not an India map representatively, but you take, say, it's a country map. Now your research data and the demand forecasting, etc., and the market information that it has given you will enable you to plot bubble chart. Small the bubble, small the market in that area. Bigger the bubble, bigger the market, moderate market. So this bubble chart will reveal to you as to which area your product has an attractive market, so that you can decide to enter. So it could be bubble chart, which is on the total market. Okay, within that you can plot even your bubble. So what is an expected market that you can take? So from the total of, if in here you think that here the product acceptance is high and you are showing a higher coverage of bubble, then that may be more attractive than this market where your bubble may be smaller. So that also is possible, another option to the bubble chart. Then this is another chart, which is also taking the growth and attractiveness in the market, attractiveness in the perspective. So x-axis plots the growth from low, moderate, high to low, moderate, high, attractiveness of the market. Now when you really plot this vis-a-vis the growth and the market, so this indicates New Zealand is a low growth market, the growth in that market is lower, and moderate attractiveness of the market. Versus Singapore, if you take, it is moderate level of growth but very high attractiveness of the market. Okay, so that's why you see India very high growth, India is on a path of high growth, okay, and moderate market this thing. So now it's your call which market you want to enter, and accordingly you will select city. You may select India, you may select Korea, select Singapore, you may select Hong Kong, you may not select Japan, New Zealand, Thailand, etc. So that's how you will decide out of your, you say all the red dots you can say are the shortlisted markets. Based on the first step, you have derived the attractiveness, and now you are trying to plot which is a final attractiveness this thing for you. So you can shortlist out of this few markets. Another utilitarian parameters, some of them are listed out here. They are you look at the GDP growth. GDP growth gives you the growth momentum of the country overall. There is the industrial output, industrial growth index also are there. Where do you stand? Where does that country stand in terms of ease of doing business? When it comes to India, in 2014, it was at 132 place out of 169 countries which was surveyed. With whatever the new government of BJP has put in place under the leadership of our existing Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi ji, what has happened is they have looked at what creates a burden and the hurdle of businessmen coming to your country, and they have removed those hurdles. So as a result, ease of doing business has improved, and today we stand at 32nd position. Still there is a scope for improvement, and I'm sure we will achieve. Overall you can club this as economic indicators, financial indicators, environmental indicators, political indicators, social indicators, demand indicators. You can create a due weightage. So this is also one approach that one can take. You have various such indicators under which you decide a few subsets and then create a weighted table. So you may give say 30 weightage to this, 20 to this, political you may give 30, and then under that, so then you will put your rating for each and you will derive the weighted score. So that itself also will give you an idea, and that weighted score will be done for various shortlisted countries. Okay, continuing our understanding about market attractiveness, how do you go about various methodologies that we have seen. Few interesting facts for you. Population wise, 84% of the world population resides in emerging markets. So you see that emerging market offers very vast number, large number. However, consumption wise, 6 billion people are the consumers today. Consumers means they consume some sort of items and the other. New industrial revolution, that is the two emerging economies are experiencing roughly 10 times the economic acceleration. China is one, India is another one, where high growth is expected. Economic powerhouse, when you say 70% of the world GDP, 70% of the world's gross domestic product coming from only two economies by 2025. Expectedly, they are China and India. So you see what weightage that we account for. Rise of middle class. Middle class is growing, their disposable income is growing, multiple members have started earning in middle class. So that assumes a very good significance, and that number is significant in the total population of growing emerging economies. technology-wise, these countries are technologically very advanced, savvy. They have not only manpower who can implement technology, install technology, but use also technology. So, see, like today, even India is creating so many coders, young coders, you know. So, that shows that we are technologically nowhere behind anybody in the world. So, now we enter new section. We have in 7.3 complete assessment of how do you attractiveness of the market is determined. So, various aspects, various modules that we have seen that one can use. Now, let's understand certain challenges that the international marketing offers. So, it starts with, I'm now not summarized, I'm going to go one by one. So, first is the ground challenge. What is the on-ground challenge? So, these are some of the, you know, parameters out here. Will this business create a drain on organizational resources? Are you doing it too much out of your current available resource? Will it lead to the loss in market share? So, that's another challenge. Challenge in the domestic market. Will your this entry create a different kind of challenge in your domestic market? Will you suffer domestic market at the cost of expanding the international business? Intensifying competition. You can never think that competition will never come. So, competition is going to intensify. So, how will you handle that? Ability to operate in a cost-effective manner. Will you be able to have an effective control? Are there any entry barriers already in place by the existing competitors? Okay. And one example of the Oreo that I gave you, culturally, will your product find any acceptance or a rejection? So, one need to, as I said earlier also, do study the Oreo cookies example in the book. Second, ability to meet the market requirements. So, ground reality, then comes the market reality, so to say, is your ability to meet the market requirements. Understand consumer needs, actual wants, what is actually they want. Yani, their need may be something, you know, I am thirsty. Want may be something else. So, what is it they actually want? So, that the need, want, desire continuum comes into play. After you understand the want, you design the product. You design a solution for that. A product that gets accepted in the foreign culture, you will have to see whether your product will find the acceptance. Then comes the bureaucracy and red tapism. That's the third level of challenge. Whether there is a license raj, whether it's a single window clearance, what is it? Approval and the red tapism around that. Tariff and non-tariff barriers, what is the country, whether country is encouraging foreign investors and foreign manufacturers or country has created its own barrier to protect the domestic industry. Speed of approvals and clearance, so that's what I told you, we have moved much higher in terms of ease of doing business with the single window clearance and various other kind of initiative that government has put in. Continue to understand the bureaucracy and red tapism, law and regulation regime, what is the kind of various laws that are there. Laws, when I say the corporate law, the law related finance, you know, for foreign funding, foreign money transfers, etc. So, those are the aspects. Controls on operations. Is there a external controls in your operations or you will have a freedom to work as you wanted, etc. Or will the government or government agency-led control be imposed on you, etc. Whether the technology bandwidth needed is available or not. So, as I told you, 5G will open many products, the product plus service capability and many services will come in. Those players are waiting for India to launch the 5G. We are otherwise ready. Our this thing, today's bandwidth, etc. in terms of internet, all is far superior to the other average, you know, other developing countries. Process evaluation. How process oriented people are, the compliances, etc. Though my personal this thing, we are not very, but eventually people are moving towards that. The communication, that's another challenge. Communicate what? Communication has to align with the culture. So, communication has a lot of linguistic and cultural limitations. Various sign symbols may mean different thing in different language and different, you know, castes and all this thing. That needs to be fully factored in. Avoid cultural misunderstanding, okay, and avoid such kind of miscommunication, which is the biggest challenge. Weightage and preference of the regional language. We ourselves have so many languages in our country. I, as a training house, also face this because we have today at least oriented ourselves to be able to deliver training in at least 18 local languages. We have identified trainers of those language and they can provide. So we claim also that to our clients. So that's what, you know, translations goes into of my training content may go into over 19 languages, you know, many times. So that's what India is also language wise very linguistic country. So something is needed means needed kind of thing. Okay, we do not have still a universal language. Okay, so that's on the communication part. Waiting in prayer, so that's a language, this thing, the communicate and to understand is two different things. So you may create language oriented this thing, but is your communication clear? Is your communication comprehensible, or does it have full of conflicts within, etc.? So those aspects needs to be understood. Communication breakdown is the biggest threat, that is Starbucks in India. So this is a case study which is there in the book. I think you should just get a glimpse of it. How when you communicate something gets this misrepresented and then it spreads like a you know, miscommunication. So that's not what intent with which you communicated for. Knowledge of the market, for which of course you need to have a complete knowledge of the market. So market knowledge is the another factor of challenges. So market knowledge itself is a challenge in its own. Though the international marketing tells you that a lot depends on your knowledge about the market, but market knowledge also in a way is a challenge. How have you collected and analyzed the pre-market evaluation? So that's the one challenge. To be the first mover or a cautious optimist? Yani you want to be the first mover in the market, or you want to wait and watch and then come into the market? What kind of secondary research was done? What is the source of secondary research? Okay. What kind of primary research done, the sample size, the accuracy expected, etc. What kind of market dynamics you have evaluated? Market dynamics means competitiveness, the network, network effectiveness, network options, etc. What technology bandwidth you have? We have to discuss the competition, the intensity, the nature, domestic versus international, the profile of competition, etc. And what is feasible for you? Ultimately, every company has a capabilities. So what capabilities do you have to successfully continuously deliver value to your customers? So that also matters as a market challenges. So with this we complete this chapter. I am sure like you got a good idea about how do you go about, first of all, identifying emerging markets for you, identifying right market, then assessing those markets, so various models that we have seen. And then finally, we have understood different challenges that one has to face while you enter the international market. Thank you.